Dear Sangha, today is the 3rd of December 2009. We are at the Temple of Loving Kindness in New Hamlet. And we are in the winter retreat. Are you there all gathering? The first gatha in the first gatha, the Buddha said, "This is."
Do you have the English text of the gatha? I can translate the gatha into English. This is not the second page.
That is a very old, very ancient style. And
thank you.
The Buddha is the most revered in the realm of gods and humans. According to me, those who translate this sutra is a lay person, have been there at the 3rd century, at the capital of Ngo China's, one of the three kingdoms of China. And at that moment, the monk Xuan Hoi came from Vietnam to that country. At that moment, in this country, there are Buddhists, lay Buddhists only. There is no shaved Buddhist monk. And at that moment, Tan Hoi came to Nanking. Nanking is the capital of the one of the three kingdoms of China at that moment. And this layman is a very learned person, and he has been invited to teach the princess. But when Tan Hoi came to Dong Ngo, and he may certainly have met that lay people, and maybe he has worked together with that lay person, lay Buddhist. And that lay Buddhist translate, and I think that Tan Hoi, the monk Tan Hoi, wrote the foreword. So the first gatha, the Buddha is the most revered in the realms of gods and human. The Buddha has the capacity to expound the wonderful teaching of the Tathagata. One day, a Brahman came to ask a question, "What is the greatest auspicious sign?" At that moment, we have two sources of teaching of the Buddha. The one in Chinese and one in Sanskrit. And that layman, Chikim, have been in touch with these two sources. The text in Sanskrit came from Kashmir. Kashmir is northwest of India. At that moment, Kashmir was a very important capital of India, where Buddhism flourished a lot for more than 1,000 years. Even in other part of India, Buddhists have been evicted out of India because of Muslim, but in that capital, they still last until very long, more than 1,000 years. So the source of Sanskrit text were available to Tan Hoi as well as to that lay Buddhist who translate this sutra. And Kashmir is the capital of the school called Sarvastivada. Tuyệt nhất thì hữu bò in Vietnamese, in Sino-Vietnamese. Not exactly Vietnamese, but Sino-Vietnamese. Sarvastivada. And they use the Sanskrit texts. And when Thang Hoi came to China, he also was in touch with that source, double source of Sanskrit and Chinese. But there is another source. Another source come from Pali texts. Came from another school of Buddhism, because when the Buddha passed away for a few hundred years, they interpret differently. Each school emphasized on something a little bit more different than others, also the teaching of the Buddha. So they came from Siddhamya. It's mean. Another school, not the Sarvastivada school. Sit mean bread, copper. It's a school who use a Pali text. In that school, the monk wear the robe in the red copper color, and that is why they call the school of a red copper color schooner, and like the sik mean red, dong mean copper, yip mean leaves. Like the leaf in autumn here, you see in leaf of autumn, red oak tree here. Tamra sasya. Tamra is copper. Tamra is a kind of metal copper. And after this school, this school has been transmitted to Sri Lanka. And so most of the Sri Lankan friends come from that school. Tamra Sasya. Tamra is copper. And when they arrive to Sri Lanka, and for a while they abandon the word Tamra Sasya, they use the word Theravada. Thera is mean high place. And because only school come from Theravada school. Thera, Stavira. Stavira sounds right. But in Pali it's called Theravada. So in Pali, Theravada, it means the school of those of the monastic who wear the sagati in the color of red copper. But this school have the tendency to be rather conservative. Everywhere there is a conservative wing. They call the eldest, the highest. So the highest people have the tendency to be who are more conservative. But there is a majority of people are more popular, more progressive. They have the name Maha Sanghika. Maha is great, Sangha, great Sangha school. So when the Buddha passed away around more than 100 years, his Sangha started to divide into two tendencies, the conservative and the progressist. And so the progressist is the majority, occupy the majority. And so they call Maha Sanghika. Tera Stavira, the Sanskrit word for, is mean elders, because even they are superior, they are old, they try to conserve what is most authentic continuation of the Buddha. So both are necessary. One want to keep correctly, authentically, meticulously every act of the Buddha, but Maha Sanghika, they try to adapt with the new society, new methods. So they ask, Plum Village belong to which school? Every one of you try to look deep. Thầy Trung Hải said that Thầy is very conservative. Thầy kept something very old. But there are those who say that, oh, Thai is too progressive. So who is correct? But when the Buddha passed away, the Sangha keep their solidarity for more than 100 years. I only need you to be solidar only for 50 years. I will be mad, very happy. But the Buddha Sangha can keep for more than 100 years and they start to divide. So I wish that you can keep together for 50 years. Make me very happy already.
It's about 100, more than 50, 150 years.
And they divide into more than 23 little sect. Little group.
And each group emphasize on everything, on something that they like the most in the teaching of the Buddha. They have all, but they emphasize the most, the important thing they like the most. So we have more than 23.
Here we only speak about three schools, the Stavira, and then Theravada. But then the Stavira come and give a number of schools called Sarvastivada. Sarva is all. So in this school, everything exists, the good, the bad, the neutral, everything exists. In your store consciousness is every kind of seed. The good seed, the bad seed, the neutral seed. And so there is a one man, one monk. So is that school settled in Kashmir? And Kashmir can last 1,000 years. And that school of Sarvastivada settled in Kashmir lasts more than 1,000 years. They spread into China, Tibet, so on. And so they also Maha Sastra. Commentary. and the Tamra Sasya do not go to the north, and they stay in the middle of India, south of India, and finally they went to Sri Lanka, and they use the Pali translation. The Ashoka king. Ashoka king is the king, is kind of Napoleon in Europe. He win all the little country of India to make one India. And he has a son who have the name Mahinda. And he became very Buddhist and then he became monastic. And the king himself, Ashoka, have seen that throughout his victory, he killed so many people and feel so bad after that. So he became Buddhist, and he ordered to eat less meat, and plant the tree, build the stupa, the rock, in order to notice that here is a place where the Buddha is born. Here is a place where the Buddha was get enlightenment. Here is a place where the Buddha passed away. And so thanks to Ashoka that we still have all these concrete facts proving that the Buddha is a true personality. And Mahinda became a son of Ashoka, he became a monk. And he also have a young sister who also become monastic. And he himself came to south of India and then went to island like Sri Lanka and spread Buddhism. And they took the name Tamra Sasya. Tamra means a red copper leaf school. And then later on in Sri Lanka, they changed into Theravada. So the lay Buddhist Chikim on the 3rd century, he used the text of some Tamra Sasya. Tamra is copper Sasya. Tamra Sasya, the leaf of the color of red copper. And so that Buddhist from the 3rd century in China, together with Master Tang Hoi, they used the Sang Tamra Sasya text as well as the Sanskrit text and Chinese text. So there is so many similarity. Many similarity. There is a lot of similarity, but very little slice difference. Because during the time of the Buddha, there is not any recorder. There is nothing to record, and people only spread by verbally. The Sangha of the Buddha, they divide into three groups. The group who have good memory, they call a sutra teacher. And so they recite everything the Buddha said that day, what happened, what he teach. And in order for not to miss anything, they make a kind of poem. After the prose explanation, recording, report, and then they make a kind of poetry text. So in the Pali text, they said that it's directly the teaching from the Buddha. But in the Chinese text and Sanskrit, they say that come from Brahman who come and ask. And you see the difference. And so you see there's already some change. And you have to compare the two. So you find something and you compare something similarity in the Chinese text as well as Pali text, and you will see that the similarity will be the correct one. But you will see some difference, and you see the speciality of each school. And so these two schools, they are separate in space by more than 1,000 kilometers, 1,000 kilometers, more, many thousand kilometers, and many thousand, and 1,000 years. But they are still together. They have many similarity. So on the similarity of the Pali text as well as Chinese text, you know that that is the correct one. I think that that's Sanskrit and Pali, and then they all translate into Chinese. And so Mahinda have the merit to bring Buddhism to Sri Lanka. He is a prince, son of the king Asoka. And Asoka, yeah, win the whole many little country of India and make one India. Later on, he become Buddhist. And so we have the Dhammapada number 2210 and another Dhammapada 211. And both of them have many illustrations. And so they have, every sutra have 26 chapters. The core of the text have 26 chapter of Dhammapada in Pali as well as in Chinese now. So if you compare the Pali text and the Chinese text, they are both have 26 illustrations, both sutra. But the Chinese text, there are some addition. It's growing, like the tree who need to grow. So the Dhammapada in Chinese have 8 more chapters. And then later on they have also 5 new chapter. So before the 26 is 8, and then after the 26 is 5 more. So on together is make 39 chapter. And so that sutra is at the 39 chapter. And when we look deeply and study carefully, we see that the additive 8 chapter, we can distinguish the 26 like the core. And there is 8 new additive from starting. And they took from this 8 first chapter, they took from Sarvastivada school in Sanskrit. And the 5 late chapter took from the Tamrasachya school. And this sutra that we are going to learn today is the last chapter, the last one taken from Tamrasachya school. So there are many scholars to learn a lot like that. You only who enjoy the text. You are the only one who enjoyed the text, and only scholar have learned a lot, studied a lot, and meticulously found is come from where. So the first 8 additive chapter come from Sarvastivada school, from Sanskrit, from the school in Kashmir. And then the last chapter is Tamrasasya school, from the Southern school. And so there is, in that there is, when they classify all the teaching of the Buddha, they have the, they classify as one set of teaching of the Buddha, they call Vô vấn tự thuyết. It means nobody asks any question, but the Buddha feel inspired and speak out by himself. Sana Hudana. Hudana is mean a set of teaching of the Buddha where there is no one asked, but he feel inspired and he start to share. Vô vấn means without any question. Tự thuyết. But he speak by himself. No question. No one question him. But he by himself give a teaching. So Dhammapada come from Pali, and the Chinese text, there is also Dhammapada, they call Dharmapada, and from Chinese. And Chinese, most of Chinese texts given by the Buddha translate from Sanskrit, because in the Tripitaka, there is one sutra called Nghĩa Túc. Nghĩa means meaning. When we study that sutra, there is many little sutra, many texts, and you see, we see that it was translated from the Pali text, but not from Sanskrit. And thanks to that Chi Khiêm lay Buddhist in Nanking, the capital of Đông Ngô, and who translated the 3rd century. In the small text set of the Tripitaka, there are the sutta, the breathing, the sutra on breathing, Satipatthana Sutta. They belong to the small set of texts, a set of small texts, Teobo. And in Sutta Nipata, we discover many sutra who have been translated from China, Chinese. And in the sutra Nghĩa Túc from Chinese. And they are the most old, the most ancient ancient texts given by the Buddha. The first teaching when the monastic first became monk. At that moment, there is no monastery yet. They are still wandering monk in the forest. And no monastery in Bamboo Grove, no monastery in Gridakuta, in Raja, many big city. And the scholar have found that the style is very ancient. This could be the first, very first text given by the Buddha. We can call the most ancient text among all the texts given by the Buddha. And in Chinese is Inangyetu. But we discover in the Canon, Pali Canon, Sutta Nipata, there is many of these sutra in the Ngetu. Ngetu in Chinese text. The second gathas, with love, the Buddha taught whatever is essential and true. Having love, having compassion to that Brahman, the Buddha taught what is essential, what is true. To have faith and to be happy when studying the Dharma, that is the greatest auspicious sign. To have faith and to be happy when studying the Dharma, that is the greatest auspicious sign. Faith, and like it a lot. When you listen and you read the teaching of the Buddha, that is the greatest happiness. Greatest auspicious sign. The word nhào, sign of Vietnamese nhào. Nhào means I like it. And in many sutras they say that I like very much to listen to you, nhào. Nhào, and sometimes they translate nhào by thích, by like, and by happy too. If someone have faith and have a lot of liking to listen to the Dharma, that is the greatest auspicious sign. The third gatha, the third poem. Not to run after gods and humans, begging for merit and protection from accident. Also not to have the need to go pray in sanctuary. That is the greatest auspicious sign. It means you don't run after those who are outside of you. Everything is in you. And if you pray gods and other people, you beg for their help, and you do a lot of merit in order to be protected by accident. So you don't need that. You don't need to run after all the temple and sanctuary, But you do not go and pray gods and superpower people to give you some merit, some protection. That is not the real happiness. The real happiness is you don't need that. You don't need to go around. In many centuries, the real happiness is not to go and pray for on this God to protect you and to and offer a lot of things in order to obtain some merit. And so in Vietnam nowadays, Buddhists in Vietnam nowadays, they pray a lot for protection. On the first month of the year, Vietnamese go to the temple and offer a lot of money for praying gods and bodhisattva to protect their family. And that is not very correct teaching of the Buddha. In this teaching, they said that not to run after gods and humans begging for merit and protection from accident. Also not to have the need to go and pray in sanctuary. That is the greatest auspicious sign. So you see, from the very beginning of the teaching of the Buddha, he made it very clear. But nowadays, Buddhism in everywhere, they transform Buddhism in kind of practice to pray, to devotion, and to pray for the protection from people outside of you, from gods, from people outside of you. So he exists in the Chinese text, but not in Pali. Maybe in order to answer to the weakness of people at that time. The fourth gatha, to choose a good environment and to have wise friends. To be able to create merits, to keep a pure and honest heart. That is the greatest auspicious sign. So you have you choose the best wise friends to create a good environment, and that you normally is will bring to great merits, to keep a pure and honest heart. That is the greatest auspicious sign. So you have to choose the wisest friend. Create a good environment. And the good environment will lead you to have to do good deeds. And the good deeds is your own merit. But that merit do not come from a prayer of God, but a prayer from your good deeds. The result of the good action you have done. Hiền environment, no harm environment, no damage environment. You have to choose the no harm environment, the best environment, where there are a lot of wise people. In Pali texts, they mention Patirupa. Desabaso. He tried to read the text in Chinese, and in the best environment, the good environment. That is the recommendation of the Buddha. The recommendation of the Buddha is always try to find a good environment, a good area where there is less violence, less cruelty, and find a good environment for yourself and for your beloved one. And we need to have the ability to create such environment. You don't expect people to create a good environment for you, but you must have the ability to create such environment. So when you attend to a retreat, you see that the environment of the retreat is very nice. People come here to practice. And so people are kind to each other. But when you left the retreat, you go home, the environment is not like that. So you are determined to create a good sangha, a good environment for your family to enjoy. And so you can offer your house, if your house is larger, you can more diligent in involving to create a good environment for your beloved one and the many family to benefit from the good environment you yourself create. To be able to create merits. In the Vietnamese text, there is make we have a chance to make a number of good deeds. Having the occasion to make many action bringing merit to people, bringing happiness to people. In the past, have a chance to realize a number of good work, good action. As we go word by word of the text, of the Chinese text, Shak Thang. Shak means of shak here is not, it doesn't mean form, but it means to be careful. be prudent, be careful. Protect yourself carefully. The word shark, there is a two word, there's a word who said that this is a kung fu, the practice in order to protect, a practice to protect. And sometimes that word shark can be used as a shik, like strength. We can use that word a little bit like a strength. But shik mean strength, but buk mean also adornment in beauty. So that sentence we can translate by, you can make it beautiful for yourself. So we make it yourself beautiful, make yourself beautiful. Make yourself beautiful by your purity and your honesty. So make yourself beautiful by your purity and your honesty, your clarity and your honesty. You have right contact, not duang mean right, correct. Correct and beautiful, not leaning one way or another way. Chang duang yim, true, correct, straightforward. Chính mean correct, straight, and ta mean inclined, is oblique, is not very straight, bent a little bit, and you keep very straight, pure and honest. To choose a good environment and to have wise friends, to be able to create merits, to keep a pure and honest heart, that is the greatest auspicious sign. Gata number 4. The 5th gata now. To abandon evil ways, to follow the good, to abstain from alcohol, and to eat moderately, not to drown in sensual pleasure, that is the greatest auspicious sign. Abandon evil ways, follow the good way, abstain from alcohol, and to eat moderately, not to drown in sensual pleasure, that is the greatest auspicious sign. In the Pali text, there is the word Durbaba. It means a little bit austerity, a kind of more austere, some more austerity, try to moderate, to self-restraint to your food as well as your habit of enjoying. You need to know the law of moderation, self-restraint. If we don't know to have self-restraint, we could be led to some destruction in your body and in your mind. If you keep the five manners and the mindfulness training properly, you can avoid all these things. Because if you live in a good environment, everybody try to live exactly like you, give the same training like you, and of course you are safer. Abandon evil ways to follow the good, to abstain from alcohol and to eat moderately, not to drown in sensual pleasure. Keep yourself in a very clear mind. The monastic, of course, keep their five manners and their code, but the lay people also can keep that too. It means you marry, but you have only one partner. And you abstain yourself not to drown in many other attractions. To abandon evil ways, to follow the good. To abstain from alcohol and eat moderately. Thừa mean very responsible and take on the responsibility on the situation. Caring on the situation. Make yourself beautiful and create a good environment. Now the number 6, to be a wealth of knowledge and to continuously practice the mindfulness training, to diligently train ourselves in follow accordingly to the Dhamma and the Vinaya, to know how to nourish body and mind and not get caught up in others' people's dispute, that is the greatest auspicious sign. So we learn more about the teaching of the Buddha. If your knowledge can nourish you, your knowledge on the teaching of the Buddha can nourish you, you can cultivate you. And so you like it because you are not forced to do that, but because you know that more you learn, more you put into practice, more you are happier. And so you want to do it because this makes you happier. We have to learn what is really become very useful to us. We learn the way to understand ourselves clearer, to understand others better. Learn, it doesn't mean that you accumulate a lot of knowledge, but to learn in the same time that to understand and to see the functioning of the mind of yourself, the functioning of the mind of others, in order to handle with beauty, with depth. And if we learn in such a spirit, then you learn in order to put into practice what you learn and to make you happier, to make you more healthy, and you can help other people and healthier. So that is the spirit of our learning. And to practice accordingly to the Vinaya, to the code of mindfulness training that you learn. If you are lay people, you keep the 5 mindfulness training, 14 mindfulness training. You are monastic, you keep an extra to this training, the monastic code. Divisionally train ourselves to follow up accordingly to the Dhamma and the Vinaya, to know how to nourish body and mind and not get caught in others' people's dispute. That is the greatest auspicious sign. So we learn Dhamma is mean the teaching of the Buddha, and Vinaya, it means mindfulness training. To how to nourish our body and mind, and to not get caught up in other people's dispute. The Vinaya, the training, will give you a lot of liberty. Don't think that if you keep the mindfulness training, 5 mindfulness training, 14 mindfulness training is limited. Your liberty is a wrong way of thinking. Because when you keep the training beautifully and you are free from all the difficulties of that way or the way, and on the trainings, on the precept, everywhere you go, you are liberate. For instance, we are alcohol addict or drug user addict, and then you deprive yourself of own liberty because you never have enough money to buy all the drugs you use. And when you don't have enough money, you will be very unhappy. So when you see a cup of wine or liquor, you are free. You don't feel that you are tempted, and you are pulled by them. You are free. So the precept, the mindfulness training, the code, Vinaya code, the monastic code, or the lay people code, they is for protecting your liberty. Because every training give you a kind of liberty. If you have 10 precept, 10 training, you have 10 door of liberty. If you have 250 precept, you have 250 door of liberty. Be free where you are. So we try to find the search for being able to receive the training. To train ourselves diligently to follow accordingly to the Dharma and the Vinaya. To know how to nourish body and mind, and not to get caught up in others, people, and dispute. There is the chanting in the evening. There is the word body, speech, and mind are in perfect oneness, and on the on the different thought of your mind is no longer in dispute. They are really dying down. All the dispute is dying down. So when you do sitting meditation, you let go everything. Of course, before coming to the meditation hall, you have 100 things to think about and dispute and up, down. But once you sit down, let go of them all. And if you are in the dispute, you have to remember that that dispute make you lose a lot of time. You need to live your life properly. Try to avoid the dispute as much, as quick as you could. The seven. To be a person with filial piety, to have the opportunity to take care of your parents, your son and daughter, you have a chance to take care of your parents. How to take care of your family, to maintain a harmonious household, not to let your family fall poor or into hunger. That is the greatest auspicious sign. In the past, the women in Vietnam always take care financially, the husband. Women in Vietnam always take care financially of her husband, because most of them want to become a high officer. And high officer, you have to learn a lot. And then she sell rice in the market. She do all the little business in the market in order to have enough financial aid for the family. And let the husband not to do anything except to learn and learn and learn and obtain a graduation. When you graduate to be high officer in the government, and then he'll come back victoriously and you will be invited to come back to be great lady. That is a dream of many little family in Vietnam. The woman take care financially, even with her humble means. And the husband only study until he obtained high degree in the government, as a post in the government. And then he come back like a big government officer and invite her to become famous lady. But nowadays, our young people do not think in that way. Our family do not think in that way. So, in Vietnam, quite a lot of women gánh gạo nuôi chồng with me, carry rice and sell rice and nourish her husband. To know how to take care of your family, to maintain a harmonious household, not to let your family fall poor or into hunger, that is the greatest auspicious sign. You are a good son or daughter, you know how to take care of your family. Shouldn't let them to be in hunger or in poverty. That is the duty of a person. In the Sutra on Happiness, we also have that. The Gatha number 8, not to be arrogant, not to think of ourselves as superior, to be content, to know how to reason, to have time to read and recite sutra, that is the greatest auspicious sign. So you should not be egocentric, not to be arrogant. You know what is enough for you. You know what is enough for you. Not to think of ourselves as superior. To be content. To know how to reason. When you feel that you are superior than others, it's not good. But you feel that you are inferior to others, it's not good either. So the complex of superiority is not good. The complex of inferiority is not good. But the complex of equality is not good. When equality, because you see that you have a separate self, hermetic self, and then you compare with others. But yourself have many input and output, you don't have a separate self. So you don't have that complex of superiority, inferiority, or equality. Because the main point is you don't have a separate self. If you are high like that, great like that, because you receive so many input from your great ancestor, blood family, spiritual family, environment family, or good friend, and if you are so many weaknesses, failure, maybe you are influenced by the not very good environment, and so you don't have the separate self to have the complex of inferiority. And then you don't need to compare with others, because we only need to choose the best environment in order for yourself to be harmonious with that good environment. You are okay already. So, So when you are, when say you are born in the area where you have more chance, more good condition, and if you are born in the condition, in the area where condition are not very good, so you are born in an educated family, and you are born in the uneducated family, you do not choose. You are born in such good environment or bad environment. So you, in Buddhism, there is no self. So even if you are born in the uneducated environment, bad condition, but if you have your mindfulness, with deep look, with touching peace in you, you see that that environment doesn't help me, so I better choose other environment. So you move slowly to other environment, or you create, and you create new good input into your environment. In the West, psychotherapists used to say that there is many sickness because they have low self-esteem. And in order for them to be healed, they try to remove the low self-esteem. And they make you have to have self-esteem again. But you have to be very careful, because self-esteem, you know, in the extreme, it will be a sickness. If high self-esteem is a sickness, low self-esteem is a sickness, but high self-esteem is also a sickness. You're so proud of yourself. And you are not arrogant. And you are not have any complex of inferiority. Don't blow yourself like as a thought and couple. And so you see that the complex of inferiority is bad, is a sickness. The complex of superiority is a sickness. But if you are a lot of comparison, you and others, you, and you say that you are equal to, that is also a sickness. Because you see that you have a separate self, and you want to compare with other, and you want to be equal. But if you say that, well, I am like that because I have that environment, that condition, that I am like I am. He is or she is like she is because she has that environment, that input, so on. So low self-esteem or high self-esteem or equal esteem are also sicknesses. The main point is you don't have a separate self. If you are like that because condition around you are like that. In the Sangha, if one person is successful, you have to see that, oh, that is the success of the whole Sangha, of yourself too. And if in the Sangha, if there is someone who takes care of those who are sick, those who are hungry, you have to feel that you have done that work together with her or with him. And so if one person in the Sangha fail, suffer, you also feel that you fail and you suffer. And that is why you take good care, so that nobody fail and nobody suffer. So tituk means know that is enough. We know that is enough. We have enough condition to be happy. We don't need to run in order to search for other happiness. When we breathe mindfully, we bring our mind back to our body, and we are present at the present moment. And you discover that you have so many positive conditions to be happy. And then you can practice the fifth mantra. This is a happy moment. Even you just have a difficulty, but you bring your mind back to the present moment. That's what is still positive. And you enumerate a lot of positive condition, and you say that this is a happy moment, even next to you there is a difficulty, because you need to have that strength in order to be able to face the difficulty later. And you know what is enough. Tito, bastante. Already have enough of condition of happiness. We don't need to look for more. That is very, very interesting. You only need to bring your mind back to the present moment, look deep in the present moment, touch what is positive, and then you see that you have quite enough condition to be happy. So that method is very, very necessary. Trista Dharma, dwell peacefully in the present moment. And we can remind each other about that. Before we do chanting, we can declare Dear Sangha, is a moment of happiness, and then you read the morning chanting or evening chanting. Before eating, you also bring your mind back to the present moment, and then you look at the positive condition, and you say that is a happy moment. And you look at your brother, your sister in the Dharma, you say that, do you agree that is a happy moment? Last night, Sichu Pablin lead a chanting. He chant very well. One day we need to let him chant for everyone. He chant very beautifully. And before he lead the chanting, so he right away said, and he said, this is a happy moment. So, Tituk may know that you have enough. It doesn't mean that you need to deprive yourself a lot. No, you know that is enough. Santusta. You are a monastic, a monk or nun. We need to practice Santusta. You know that is enough. Remember, be mindful that you need to look deeper. It means we try to look, to investigate carefully. Not to be arrogant, not to think of ourselves as superior, to be content, to know how to reason, to have time to read and recite sutra, that is the greatest auspicious sign. Don't I know what you did? When you really learn something, you have to put into practice. When you do the chanting, try to put into practice what you chant. We can chant and we can put into practice. Having time to chant and to practice, that is the most greatest auspicious sign. Have time to read and recite the sutra. Not to be arrogant, not to think ourselves as superior, to be content, to be humble, to know how to reason, to have time to read and recite the sutra, that is the greatest auspicious sign. To listen with a peaceful and accepting heart when you hear things that you do not agree with. To be happy every time you meet a monastic practitioner, every time you hear the Dharma, wholeheartedly to receive it and put it into practice, that is the greatest auspicious sign. When you hear something, you see something, you have to learn to be patient and accept with a peaceful heart. And learn to listen to others. And even what people said is not very pleasant, but we have to learn to listen and to understand what is not said. To listen with a peaceful and accepting heart when you hear things that you do not agree. To be happy every time you met a monastic practitioner, with the condition that that monastic practitioner is a very nice monastic. In principle, any monastic must keep the monastic code, and so they are, of course, nice people. But if a monastic But they do a lot of things that is look not like a monastic, so that is also not a true monastic. So to be happy every time you meet a true monastic practitioner, every time you are happy when you see a monastic. When you see a monastic, you feel relaxed. because her practice or his practice remind you to practice deeper. Every time you hear the Dharma, you wholeheartedly receive and put it into practice. When you hear like that, you wholeheartedly receive it and put it into practice. You receive wholeheartedly and put into practice. The Phang Phuc word here is mean you investigate. The Phang Phuc sometimes is look like light, and but here is mean investigate profoundly. So we stop now, 1 hour and a half.